This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Are you caring for an aging loved one? Are you a senior searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources for seniors and their caregivers. And now, America's Senior Care Consultant, Steve Keeker.
Hello and welcome to Senior Care Live. I'm Steve Keeker, your Senior Care Consultant, and I really appreciate you tuning in today. We have a wonderful program, informative program, on tap today with my friend and special guest in studio, Mr. Bruce Glenn. He's the Senior Wealth Manager and President of Rally Wealth and Benefits. And Bruce, welcome back to Senior Care Live.
Thanks, Steve. Always good to be here with you.
All right. Now, Bruce is going to cover some really, really important information. In Kansas City, dial 913-308-0277. Outside of the KC area, toll-free nationwide, 888-241-2361. You can also visit their excellent website at rallywb.com. And Bruce, I was thinking about you the other day. I was visiting with a friend of mine. He's like, I'm thinking about retiring, but you know, the market's going crazy, and one day I lost money, the next day I made money, and he's pulled his hair out, and then I kind of had to complain a little bit. Tariffs bad, market down. We have a deal with so-and-so. Market tariffs good, market up. I mean, it kind of drives me crazy. And you predicted exactly what happened.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. You're right. I really feel like this is going to be kind of a COVID type of event where the bad news drove the market down pretty hard for a couple of months. And then, as I said, if we get a couple of key trading partners online, then you're going to see the rest of them start to fall in place. And that's exactly what's happening.
Yep.
And as soon as the market felt like there was beginning to be some certainty, then the market would be happy and it would, you know, have a nice rebound, which that's what we're seeing right now. And now it can still change, you know, but so far that part of the equation is improving quite a bit.
Well, and you've always said, you've always kind of warned people, informed people that the market does not like uncertainty. And so you hear something, it sounds a little uncertain, and it reacts. We have more certainty, it reacts. So yeah, that's exactly correct. So
yeah, absolutely. And so the challenge is in the short term, you have bad news or you have, you know, political risk or economic news that hurts in the short term. But in the long term, your corporate profits and these type things kind of take over and you get more rationality to the pricing in the markets.
Good. Well, let's have a general market update because it's been just a little while since we talked, and a lot of water has gone under that bridge. So
yeah, day by day, and we're here about once a month.
So, right,
absolutely. So yeah, the markets have been relatively volatile over the last month. Obviously, the S&P 500 is currently up. May's been a pretty good start to the month. It's up, over 1% for the year at this point. So it's recovered enough. It's recovered a double digit amount in May, which has got us back up into positive territory for the year to date. So that's great news. We've also seen strength in the overall tech world, although some of the more volatile tech items are still down. Industrials have done pretty good. Retail, utilities, and even the broader services have done fairly well so far this year. You know, some areas that are lagging. Energy has been a challenge still, and we talked about that, last month.
Yeah.
Discretionary spending and healthcare, those items have been a drag on the market. The Treasury is something that a lot of people monitor, and like the 10-year Treasury right now is in the mid 4% range, and it bounces around a couple of basis points per day typically, but fairly steady since the Fed policy has been a little more consistent than what it had been. But there's key economic indicators that we like to watch. One is that the inflation numbers, which we track a lot, that's currently running at 2.3%. And that's, down from last year. So that's improving. Although April was up 0.3%, which that's above that 2.3% annualized pace. But a lot of that, if you think about that, when the tariff conversations spiked up, that made a lot of business buying decisions you know, they're trying to buy things in before tariffs will kick in.
Yep.
Then when the tariffs don't happen, they're, you know, it may affect the Q2 numbers when it's all said and done.
Yeah, yeah.
They kind of overbought in Q1 to try and avoid some of the tariff conversation. I always say that, you know, people are working and they're spending money. So unemployment right now is at 4.2%. And, you know, that continues to be a steady, strong, you know, employment market. And that's key, right? If people have jobs and they're spending money, then the economy is pretty strong. Consumer spending, and that's about, you know, two-thirds of the GDP that we measure. But consumer spending is showing steady, again, we closely watch that to kind of see what the broader consumer is doing. March, it was up 0.7%. And again, I think that some of that was, you know, filtered in on the tariff conversation. But overall, you know, pretty good situation there.
And, you know, on the unemployment, when you see our president out making all of these deals and we have car manufacturing, huge plants coming and all of this, Boeing and all the we're going to be adding hundreds of thousands of jobs. And I would expect that number to go down over the next couple of years as all of these jobs start to fill with all of this new business that's coming.
Yeah, absolutely. And that can also create bubbles in the employment market when you have a whole lot of big orders coming in on these big, huge Boeings and that type of thing, or John Deere or Caterpillar, take your pick, right? But, you know, speaking of that, you know, the Fed rate is obviously a big item as well. So, you know, the Fed right now is holding. In fact, as they've said, they're planning on kind of pausing until September. So we'll see what the summer season does and what tariffs do. So I think the Fed just wants to sit back and wait and see, and then they may resume possibly cutting a couple of times in Q4 is my feeling. You know, right now the Fed rate at 4.33, a year ago is at 5.33, so it's down 1%.
Yeah.
Of course, they made those cuts at the end of 2024 mainly, and then prime rates at 7.5%. Of course, that's the rate that the, you know, good credit lenders tend to get from the banks and our borrowers, I should say. And then, you know, what's more important to a lot of our listeners probably is what's that 30-year mortgage at? And right now it's at 6.81%. So 6.81, it still sounds high compared to our recent history. But you and I know we've seen it as bad as 15% to 18%.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe 20% back in the early 80s.
Back in the day. Yeah.
Yeah. And long-term average mortgages are around 6%. So we're not that far off.
We got spoiled rotten with 2 and 3%, though, for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if we'll get down there again, to be honest with you. I mean, a lot of that was coming out of the credit crisis of 08, 09.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if we're going to see that again. Hopefully nothing's bad enough to get interest rates that bad again.
Yeah, right.
Because that affected everything, including, you know, savers. Some people don't want to be in the market, so they'd rather be saving at the bank, but they need a reasonable return on their money.
Right.
So that really hurt those folks the last 10, 15 years as well. But, you know, the other things we're watching, you know, corporate earnings is a big indicator to me of kind of where we're going. And, you know, recent reporting season, we've seen about 70% of the companies beat their numbers. You know, so that's a good reporting season. And, you know, we'll see how that that tariff part, you know, affects that. But AI is, you know, still a big driver. The challenges are still commercial real estate, as we know. I mean, a lot of these buildings are sitting around ghost buildings or half empty.
Yep.
And so that's some companies are making people go back to work. Not working, but go back into the office.
Physically show up in the office and maybe work a couple days at home, 3 days in the office. But everyone's getting back into the office. But there's still a huge glut of open or unfilled offices. They're just empty.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're kind of boiling that part of it down, you know, what does it mean for the regular investor out there? So what we did starting a year ago was we started, you know, reducing our exposure to the Magnificent Seven stocks because they had such an overweight amount of money in the seven biggest stocks. And then we position ourselves more towards yield, heavier yield. So when we have these volatility areas, you know, we're picking up more shares at a cheaper price, and we rebalance again here in April. So we rebalance quite a bit, but I would say right now I'd still be heavier towards yield and not be too growth on at the moment. That's kind of our position, and that may change as we get more of the tariffs, you know, kind of in the rearview mirror.
All right, and I'll tell you what, I learned something I am not an expert in all of financial. That's why you're here, because we can ask you questions. But when you had a big company dinner is about a month ago, and there was a gentleman talking about investments and that sort of thing, I learned something that kind of blew my mind. And he said something to the effect of, and he was talking about AI. Do you invest in AI? And then I'll get to what he said. But he said, when you go on to like a ChatGPT or GPT or something like that, and you just type in a question, and then it thinks about it for a couple of seconds, and then poof, here's your answer. He said that requires as much energy as a light bulb uses in 15 minutes. And that blew my mind. So he talked about investing in AI, but more importantly, investing in
energy.
The infrastructure of energy right. that will support this explosion of AI. I just thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, 100%. So energy, we need all of the above right now.
Yeah.
Because, we'd like to be green and everything else, which we're getting more and more that way. But we do have to have like over 50 of these depots or conduits for yeah. energy, whether it's wind or solar, you got to get it to market, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, this would be a big need there.
Absolutely. We're speaking today with Mr. Bruce Glenn. He's the Senior Wealth Manager and President of Rally Wealth and Benefits in Kansas City, 913-308-0277, toll-free 888-241-2361, and online at rallywb.com. And now the Senior Care Live question of the week. There are tax-advantaged ways to save for healthcare costs in retirement, like HSAs. Is that statement true or false? What do you think?
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Back to the Senior Care Live question of the week. There are tax-advantaged ways to save for healthcare costs in retirement, like HSAs. Is that statement true or false? And the answer is true. The answer is true. And Bruce, why is that statement true?
Thanks, Steve. I would back up a little bit and say that HSAs are a great saving vehicle heading towards retirement.
Uh-huh.
They've got some advantages once you get into retirement. If you've got some money left over, you can convert them to some investments and things like that. But there's certainly a tax advantage on the savings side of it, so that's great, and the tax-free growth on that money and be able to convert that to some retirement money as well. Long-term care in certain states – there are some advantages to having some long-term care also. So again, state by state, it just kind of depends on your situation. But there are a few things out there that can help from a tax standpoint.
Excellent, excellent. We're speaking with Mr. Bruce Glenn. He's the Senior Wealth Manager and President of Rally Wealth and Benefits in Kansas City, 913-308-0277, toll-free 888-241-2361, online at rallywb.com. And if this conversation is spurring questions and you're like, wait a minute, I haven't been hearing about these things, and maybe I need to get a second opinion, maybe I need to call Bruce and just ask him a question. Again, reach out to Bruce. Great guy, super knowledgeable. He will help you. He can help you. So let's jump into, just pre-long-term care. So, what should people be doing in their, say, in their 50s and 60s to prepare for healthcare costs in retirement?
Like I said, the HSA, I think, is one of the best things you could do more specifically to healthcare costs, more directly, and possibly long-term care. But an ancillary part of that is when you get into retirement, you don't want to be getting killed with a high Medicare premium.
Yeah.
And the Medicare premium is, as they call it, means tested or means weighted, meaning how much can you afford to pay? We're going to make you pay, right? And so you really want to start strategically thinking about taxation so that you can keep that Medicare premium down lower. So there's some strategic planning things we can do in your 50s and 60s to kind of prepare you and making some decisions that are going to help out with the medical cost when you're thinking about the Medicare premium and some of the things that go along with that.
Okay. All right. And then how do you help clients estimate and budget for out-of-pocket medical expenses during retirement? Because as we all know, as we get older, we start to require and pay for more and more healthcare needs and expenses.
Right. So when we're working with our clients and folks that want to call up, we could talk about your family history, what your current medical situation is, and kind of make some plans according to that and what options are available to you or may not be available to you. But we've got a really, really sophisticated planning tool that we use. And it goes very deep into a bucket, bucket items from, car expenses to, your home breakdowns and your Medicare expenses and breaking down into the Medicare premiums and other out-of-pocket type items. And we use the government averages in most cases, but it's also an individual interview and kind of get a feel for what's going on and what your overall financial situation is and how much room we've got, maybe some Roth conversions, things like that can help.
Now, can it predict me having a cyst in my brain at age 63?
Oh, absolutely. By the way, you look marvelous.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I guess that's the advantage of having the procedure done through your nostrils.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have any crazy scarring. So, yeah, you can't. Like you said, I mean, you saw me last week and you're like, Steve, that surgery was 2 weeks ago. You look perfectly normal. I feel great.
You do.
I've been very, very blessed.
Your
very
voice
fortunate.
Is spot on, too.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. So, so can you explain how Medicare works and what it does and does not cover?
Right. So Medicare, a lot of people think that it's kind of the end-all, be-all. It's not. The nice thing about it is you can universally get it if you paid into the system long enough, right? But Medicare typically pays about 80% of your cost. And so it's really smart to have some kind of, I call it Medigap. There's an Advantage plans you can get and there's supplement plans you can get. And they both work differently, but they can help offset some or all of the costs that Medicare does not cover. So those are really, really important concepts to understand when you get ready to plan for your healthcare cost.
Okay. And then what are the differences between Medicare Advantage plans and then the Medicare supplement plans? And then how do you go about helping a client determine which one is best for them?
Right. So first of all, I'd say it depends on your insurable interest. So a Medicare supplement plan, in my mind, is kind of like a full collision and liability coverage on your car, right? Mm-hmm. If you're driving a 1970 Ford Pinto, it's not worth anything at this point. You're not going to have full coverage on it, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you don't have enough money saved, it doesn't make any sense to be paying $200 or $300 a month or whatever the Medicare supplements cost today. Mm-hmm. But if you have a lot of money, I usually say $300,000, $350,000 on up, it probably justifies paying for the Medicare supplement costs. Advantage doesn't cost as much.
Yep.
It helps offset some of that out of pocket that Medicare doesn't cover. But if you get into a big issue, a stroke, cancer, heart, big issues, big dollar type problems.
Brain cyst,
right. big items like that, then you want to have a Medicare supplement policy that will cover, except for a little bit of copays, it'll virtually cover everything else out of pocket.
Yeah, you have some copays and deductibles, but it's reasonable. So how do rising healthcare costs impact retirement income planning, and how can retirees protect themselves?
Well, like I said, the Medigap plans to a certain degree, but I would say getting your taxes down as good as possible. And so that kind of goes to the point of, when we get ready to retire, when do we turn Social Security income on? Do we pre-spend down some of our 401k pre-tax money or our pre-tax IRA? So we spend some of that money down before we turn Social Security on possibly. Do we consider doing some Roth converting where we take our pre-tax bucket, convert some of that to Roth and pay some of the taxes early to avoid paying more taxes later because you have more income coming in?
Yep.
Because you have your required minimum distribution ages that, most people on the listening audience are probably going to start paying an RMD if they're not already.
Yep.
At age 73, if they're born before 1960,
mm-hmm.
or at 75, if they're born after 1960.
Yep.
And so that's an important critical point, because if you've got a big balloon note of all this tax money that's going to hit you and this income is going to hit you, it's going to throw your Medicare premiums through the roof and a lot of things like that.
Okay. And then what advice do you have for clients who retire before they're eligible for Medicare?
Right. So make sure you've got good coverage available to you that's going to be sustainable, and make sure it's going to include all the doctors and the network that you want to be in. And if you travel a lot, make sure it's going to cover you no matter where you're at, if it's domestic travel or international, whatever the case is. But don't just blindly think that you've got just because you have coverage that it's what you need to have.
Yeah, and I think that the travel part of that is super, super important. So, Bruce, thank you so much for being here today. If you have questions for Bruce Glenn, he's a senior wealth manager and president of Rally Wealth and Benefits in Kansas City, 913-308-0277, toll-free 888-241-2361, or online at rallywb.com. And, Bruce, thanks so much for being here today, and I'm looking forward to cheering with you for the Royals here. We'll see how we're going to do this year.
Thanks, Steve.
We'll have more coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. Stick around. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, so this is Memorial Day weekend, and I'll tell you what, does it seem early this year? I don't know. It seems a little bit early, but it's not. This is the right weekend. Memorial Day, originally known as Decoration Day, and I'll tell you what, my grandma Keeker, she always called it Decoration Day, and I think that's maybe where she got that. But Memorial Day is a federal holiday honoring and mourning U.S. military personnel who died while serving in the U.S. Armed Forces. And since 1971, it has been observed on the last Monday of May. And I'll tell you what, my mom and I, we have kind of I wouldn't say it's not a new tradition. We've probably been doing it for about 20 years. But we have a tradition of visiting all of the grave sites in our family the Friday of Memorial Day weekend. So it's not too terribly busy. And then all the graves get to be, you know, decorated for, you know, quite a little bit longer that way. But we always decorate with flowers and everything. And my grandpa Cuevas, now that's on my mom's side, Demetrio Cuevas, he served in World War II. Let me just brag about him a little bit. He received a Purple Heart, and we always place a flag at the foot of his grave, remembering his service. And just a short story, he was in World War II. He got shot in the knee, and I cannot imagine how painful that was. But while... After getting shot in the knee, he picked up one of his buddies who also got shot and was down. He couldn't move, and pulled and basically carried his fellow soldier to safety with one working knee. Okay, they did not call them the greatest generation for nothing. I'm telling you that, right? So just to brag about my grandpa a little bit. And so during this time of the year, I always like to discuss the VA aid and attendance benefit just around Memorial Day. I also talk about it in the fall around Veterans Day. But let's jump right into that VA aid and attendance benefit. I always discuss this with my clients from Senior Care Consulting when we talk about, you know, how to pay for the high cost of senior care. So the VA aid and attendance benefit, it's financial assistance that can help veterans or the surviving spouse of a veteran pay for the cost of care. You must require help with at least 2 activities of daily living, and I'll break all this stuff down here in a minute. There is a service requirement. Not just anyone can apply for this. But so many people can, and they're just not even aware of it. That's why I'm always talking about this. And then we have a financial criteria requirement as well. So the service requirement for the VA aid and attendance benefit, at least 90 consecutive days of active duty. So if you sign up to be, you know, in the Army or the Navy, Air Force, Marines, et cetera, And you're going to be active duty. You're usually there at least 90 consecutive days. So that's pretty easy to hit that one. At least one day during a period of war. And so I'll go through the date ranges here in just a second. As far as your discharge, not dishonorably discharged. So obviously you have an honorably discharged, but you have a lot of other discharge types as well, medical discharges, etc. So just not dishonorably discharged. Your income, your monthly income needs to be less than the monthly cost of care to trigger the maximum payout or the maximum benefit. And then liquid assets. This is something a little newer in the program. You can have liquid assets. So think checking, savings, money market, mutual funds, CDs, those sort of things. So the 2025 number, $159,240 or less. Well, Steve, what if I have $180,000 in liquid assets? That's okay. Keep track of that. And once those liquid assets are spent down to that trigger of $159,240, then you could check that box and you would meet that criteria. And then there is a three-year look back. And so that liquid asset and the three-year look back, that's similar to some Medicaid language and Medicaid criteria or qualifications. Although Medicaid's a 5-year, it used to be 3 years. So 3 years looking back. So if you gave away, you know, $1 million in the last 3 years and now you want to take advantage of this benefit, that's not going to work. Okay. So it's someone, again, $159,240 in liquid assets or less in that 3-year look back. Now, as far as the activities of daily living, let's say if you have a home care provider helping provide care in your home, or especially if you move to assisted living, and definitely if you move to long-term care, okay, you're going to check these, at least a couple of these boxes, but you must require assistance with at least two activities of daily living. And so you have bathing, dressing, mobility and transferring. So mobility is getting, you know, from your room to dining, or activities. Transferring is help moving from point A to point B, helping you out of bed to your walker, your wheelchair, that sort of thing. Helping, one of the ADLs is eating and another one is toileting. So it's pretty easy. If you need help with those activities of daily living, pretty easy to check two of those boxes. And you could check all of them, of course, but at least two. Okay, this is important. The official dates for periods of war. So we have World War II. We have fewer and fewer veterans from World War II with us, but there are still quite a few. December 7th, 1941, of course, all the way through December the 31st, 1946. So let's say you signed up. And your first day was December the 31st, 1946. You can check that box. If you're in 90 consecutive days or longer, at least one day during a period of war. It could have been the last day on that period, but that checks the box, right? The Korean War, or some call it the Korean conflict, June the 27th, 1950, all the way through January the 31st, 1955. Then the Vietnam, and most of my clients are from World War II and Korean War. I'm starting to have some clients who did serve in the Vietnam War, August the 5th, 1964, all the way through May the 7th, 1975. And I have a lot of people say, well Steve, I served in Okinawa, or and I was not involved in fighting or a theater of war. I never fired my rifle. Steve, I served in San Diego. I was in logistics and support. That's fine. It's just serving active duty. There is one exception. In the Vietnam War, if you had boots on the ground, it goes all the way back to February 28th, 1961, if you served in Vietnam, boots on the ground. For all others, Vietnam period of war, for the purposes of qualifying for this benefit, would start August the 5th, 1964. Hopefully that makes sense. This is the payout. So a single veteran could receive a maximum, and this is the 2025 numbers, okay? Could receive a maximum for a single veteran of $2,358. Now, if you're the surviving spouse of a veteran who has passed away, and you're the surviving spouse, you would also qualify for the benefit at the level, maximum level of $1,515. I just learned to read yesterday, okay? $1,515 a month. Now, married veterans, $2,795. And those, the first two are the main ones that I see, the single vet and then the surviving spouse of a veteran. So I know that numbers sometimes don't translate very well over the radio, but I want to give you a without the benefit and with the benefit example. And this is a real life example. So let's say a veteran has $150,000 in liquid assets and he has an income of $3,000 a month. He's living in an assisted living community that costs $7,000 per month. So if you do the quick, easy, simple math, we're short by $4,000 per month. Okay, we have $150,000 in assets. So without the VA aid and attendance benefit, okay, his assets will last for 37 months, about 3 years. Okay, with the benefit, this is huge. The same person with $150,000 in assets, income of $3,000. Now that single veteran is bringing in an additional $2,358. So their new income is $5,358. The assisted living costs $7,000. Now we're only short by $1,642. It's just simple math. So with the aid and attendance benefit, the same assets will last for 91 months or 7.6 years. It's a huge, huge difference. And after the break, I'm going to let you know how you can apply for the VA aid and attendance benefit.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. To contact Steve or a guest on his show, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more coming up.
All right, so you can reach out to your local VFW or the VA in your city or in your area, in your region. I refer all of my clients to the national headquarters of the VFW. They coincidentally just happen to be right here in downtown Kansas City, 34th and Broadway. But you can go to your local VFW. The VA in your area. But I send everyone here. This is a direct line to a group of veteran service officers who will help you apply for that VA aid and attendance benefit. You don't have to be a member of the VFW. There is no charge. They will help you do this. They want to help you or your veteran, your loved one, qualify for anything and everything they can qualify for. Really, really great group of people there. That number is 816-968-1153. And then the main phone number into the national headquarters of the VFW, 816-756-3390. So I'm going to shift gears here, talk about my firm, Senior Care Consulting, just briefly, and then a tremendous business opportunity. If you've been listening to the show for any length of time at all, you know that with my firm, Senior Care Consulting, first of all, I'm so proud. I'm like a proud papa. My buttons are bursting all the time when I talk about this. Very simply, we help our clients find the best fit when it comes to searching for a senior care community, either for themselves or a loved one. So if it involves moving from your home to a place that provides care for seniors, that is our niche in the world. And so I like to say that, we're about 2 feet wide, we're about 2 miles deep. We go deep with our clients, and when we help them in just a major, major way. We can help you find the best possible assisted living facility, memory care, long-term care. We're working with more and more people who want connected services. So we might be looking at assisted living where you could age in place and move through to long-term care if needed, and working with more and more individuals and couples wanting to downsize from their home and move into a continuing care retirement community, into the independent living part of it, and then age in place. Move to assisted living when you need help with your activities of daily living. Move to long-term care when you need more help than that. Okay, so that's what We do. The business model. We operate on a flat fee for service. This is the right thing to do. I have a registered trademark that is a placement service with integrity, because that is exactly what we offer. We do not receive one single penny from any provider. I'm old school, in my opinion, and I'm unapologetically old school. I'm old, too, but unapologetically old school. I think it is a gross conflict of interest to recommend a place. If you choose it, then they grease my palm with the $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 check. Right there, you lost all your objectivity. You lost all your credibility. Thanks, but no thanks. That thought never entered my mind. We work directly for our clients. Our clients retain us just like you would retain an attorney, a tax accountant, or any other professional service provider that helps you through a process. And we just had Bruce Glenn, a financial advisor, wealth manager, a phenomenal resource, a phenomenal guy. He and his firm, they are a fiduciary. And so we have a fiduciary model. It's not in financial services. It's in the placement business. So we don't receive kickbacks from any of the providers. We get along with everyone. We work very professionally with everyone. We just don't receive reimbursement, and that's the way I think this should go. So the business opportunity, I am expanding senior care consulting. For a very long time, I have wanted to help people, you know, outside of the Kansas City area. And I think the best way to do that is to open offices all across the country and offer franchise opportunities. It's a reasonable franchise cost. Now, you are starting your own business. So, I mean, you're starting a business from scratch. We're talking about franchise fees, training, some technology fees, marketing, insurance, all of the things. Okay, so you're not going to open the thing for $10, all right? But it is in the franchising world, this is a very, very reasonable franchising fee in total. And if you are interested in that, give me a call. I would like to visit with you. I'm creating the Founders Club. First five in, you're going to get discounted franchise fees, and you're going to get a heck of a lot more territory than what is normally offered here. So that package is going to be worth tens of thousands of dollars. I'll just tell you that. All right. Call 833-SCC-FRAN. Super easy to remember. 833-SCC-FRAN. Now, somebody out there is driving, or they're writing it down. They're like, come on, Steve, you can't do that. You're going to make me look this stuff up. All right, let me give you the phone number, 833-722-3726. And that is the number for SCC Franchising, and just give us a call. And if you want to go to the website, it's an excellent website, seniorcareconsulting.com/franchising. And it talks about the franchising opportunities. There are forms here that you can fill out and submit your questions, your information. Let us know you're interested in Orlando, Florida, or Dallas, Texas, or Phoenix, Arizona, wherever you're at. I just picked on like Southeast and the South. We're not in every single state, but we're in the majority of them. And if you go to this page, it talks about the industry and how many people need help and how big this industry will be in just five short years by 2030. And it talks about, you know, why franchising with us. Okay. Recession, financial pressures don't really have much of an effect on this business. If you need care, you need care. Whether the financials, you know, we just talked about financials with Bruce Glenn. So, you know, whether the economy is doing well or not so great, if you need care, you need care. So we're fairly insulated there. You can owning your own franchise. You own and run your own business, so you have work-life balance. You can work from home with a flexible schedule. No employees required. You can do this on your own. High profit margins. This is a pure service. Okay. We get paid for our knowledge and our information that we provide to our clients. And then you talk about a purpose-driven business. Okay, this is something that you can be proud of, offering this type of a service, offering it the way that we offer it, and again, offering a placement service with integrity. So just reach out, again, 833-SCC-FRAN, 833-722-3726, and would love to visit with you about that. Give me a call, and let's do this. Again, this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, is more than just firing up the barbecues, opening the swimming pools, and all the other, you know, the beginning of summer stuff, right? And there's nothing wrong with all of that, but let's all remember to take some time to say thank you to our veterans and remember all who have fallen serving and protecting our great country. May God continue to bless the United States of America. And I'm your host, Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. Join me next week, right here on Senior Care Live.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.